Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being a people of prayer. It's not only the most important thing we can do, it's our top priority as this people, to be people of prayer. And I want to thank you for praying for me. I spent the week working on a new sermon series, only to feel like the Lord wanted me to change the plan yesterday. And so we're moving forward with a sermon this morning that I think will help prepare us for a new sermon series. And the sermon's title this morning is All In, and basically yesterday the Lord asked me, are you gonna be all in or not? And what I think the Lord was asking of me is, are you going to trust me with everything or not? Are you going to trust me even with preaching? Are you going to trust me or not? So this morning's message is entitled All In, and I believe that's what God is looking for. God is looking for a people who will commit themselves and say, Lord, I'm all in. A people who will stand together and say, wherever you lead, Lord, we'll go. Whatever you say, Lord, we'll do. And so I was wrestling with this yesterday afternoon, and I can't be the only one who has this burden that's like, Lord, where are the passionate people? Where are the burning ones? And I've been saying it for quite some time that I believe the Lord is doing a new thing. I really believe that people are starting to wake up in this hour. Not 10:30 in the morning, but I'm talking about people are waking, well, some people are probably waking up at 10:30, but in this day and hour, during this time, I believe that people are starting to wake up, and I believe people are waking up to the reality of sin. We know that sin is certainly all around us. We know that we are living in a world that glamorizes and passes off sin as normal. But there is also a move of God that is happening. There is an internal battle happening inside of a lot of people. A feeling that things are not quite right and that sin might be wrong. People who are at the end of their rope, and they're like, there has to be more. There has to be more than this struggle. There has to be another way to live life. And so I believe people are waking up. I believe people are realizing their desperate need for God. And I'm praying that it happens. I'm praying that there wouldn't be anything that stops the move of God in this day and hour. This waking up, this feeling inside of us is confronting us. It's revealing our own brokenness and lostness. But all of this must happen for change to come. You've heard it said before, but revival does not come without repentance. And repentance does not come without conviction. And conviction does not come without the Holy Spirit. So we must continue to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We must be all in when it comes to prayer. So I have to admit that lately I've been wrestling in my spirit. I don't know if you realize this or not, but pastors have to preach a sermon every week. Have you noticed that? No, it's true. Where do all of those sermons come from? Well, hopefully not from the internet or from some other pastor. Sermons should arise from God's word. They should flow from the Holy Spirit's leading. Words should be formed in study and prayer and then released by the Lord. But lately I've been wrestling with God about preaching. And I think this is a season of wrestling for a lot of God's people. I know you're quiet right now, and I believe that is the Lord revealing things to us. See, God is after our hearts. He wants our attention. He wants all of our affection. But in order for that to happen, we must empty ourselves. But if we're honest this morning, emptying ourselves is, it's not easy. It can be painful. Especially when we've gotten used to living for ourselves. When we've gotten used to our own preferences. When we've grown accustomed to sin in our lives. When we've gotten used to being too busy for God. So I believe it's time to wake up and realize what's really happening. And for a lot of us, I think this is a season of pruning, a season where God is taking away and cutting off things that do not belong in our lives. It's perhaps a season where God is disciplining us. And friends, that can be scary, that could be painful, but I want to encourage us this morning. I want us to know that this is actually a good thing. This is a blessing. It reveals the love that God has for us. It reveals that He wants the best for us. And if you are a parent today, like, you know, like, disciplining your child is not really something that you wanted to do. Like, when you were dreaming about having children, I don't think you were dreaming about having children so that you could perfect your technique of disciplining. That's not like our favorite thing to do. And it's probably not God's favorite thing to do with us either, but it is necessary so that we would become and grow up into the full stature, the nature of Christ. So I've been wrestling with God about preaching. And I've come to this place where I can't just settle with going through the motions any longer. I had for these last few years, I had my motions. I had a process that worked for me, but God is disrupting me, and I can no longer even settle. And there was nothing wrong with it, but I can no longer just settle with going through the motions anymore. The word that is preached has to come from the Lord, and it has to be for Him. So I don't know, maybe the prophets have ruined me. We spent the last 3 weeks in the book of Haggai, the prophet of Haggai, and earlier this summer we were in Isaiah, and this week I was working on a new sermon series that will begin next week from Malachi. So maybe it's the prophets that have ruined me, because you know what we see in the prophets? Every time the word of the Lord comes, it's powerful. Every time the word of the Lord comes to a prophet, it's this heavy burden that they can't get away from. They can't run away from it. They can't ignore it, even though they like to. They have to proclaim this word of the Lord. And so often when we read the minor prophets in the Old Testament, these books, like, we have the perspective of time, and we're like, we can see it and we can kind of picture it, but I want you to know, when the word of the Lord came to the prophet, it was not a good word. It was not popular. People did not want to hear that. And yet, they had to be faithful to proclaim what God was speaking to the people. So one of the ways I think God is helping me is by being more honest. I shared on Wednesday night, and we meet here on Wednesday nights for a time of being in the Spirit, worship and prayer and teaching and whatever the Lord has for us. And this last Wednesday night we were here, and I just shared this reality. I said, I don't know how to speak the truth in love. Like, I see it in Scripture, but Lord, I don't know how. Would you help us? Help us to know how to speak the truth in love. Shouldn't pastors be honest like that? I know it seems silly to ask that, but it's really not a silly question, because for too long, pastors have tried to be perfect instead of being honest. And as a result, there's a lot of sin and deception in the church, in the body of Christ. Again, I think this is a part of the waking up that I believe is happening in this hour, that all of us would be more honest before God and with one another. And for too long, we've just ignored a lot of things. We've turned a blind eye, which is really a weird saying. We've ignored these issues and the challenges that we're facing. For too long, we've ignored sin and the truth about sin, even in the church. We've tended to preach messages that make us feel good while neglecting the whole counsel of God. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised by what we see in the church. But this is not a new situation. We see this situation time and time again throughout God's word and in God's people. Paul actually writes about it in this letter to Timothy, the young man that he was mentoring and training. Paul writes about this very situation in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, you can open up, or your phone. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to share some bits and pieces from this letter, 2 Timothy, this morning. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Paul was writing this to Timothy a long time ago, and yet this word sounds like it could be today. Right? Because in our world, people want to decide for themselves what is true. And in the church today, you can probably find a pastor or a church to suit your way of thinking. Meaning, you can probably find other people that will agree with you. Pastors and teachers and churches who will say what you want to hear. Pastors that will even preach to accommodate you in your sin. Lord, help us. Churches that will preach what society wants to hear, that will dilute and water down God's word so that it is more easily received. Or should I say more easily deceived? Friends, the time has now come and has been here for a long time. These words from Paul to Timothy have been around for a long time. Very, very few want sound doctrine, writes Paul. Very few people will be people of his word. Right? There's this attitude that says, why would I listen to these old words when there's some new way? Don't you know we've evolved and progressed? There is a new way. So what can a pastor do? How can a church respond? What can we do together? I think we can consider once again the importance of faithfulness. I think we can commit once again to pursuing holiness and faithfulness to the Lord. How many of you would enter into a marriage just to be unfaithful? I mean, what does that even look like? It looks like a relationship or a marriage that is self-centered, where a husband or wife is all about me and my needs. That's not a loving relationship. That's not a loving commitment in marriage. And yet, when it comes to the Lord, that's our approach. Lord, help me answer my prayers. Lord, help me in my dream, my desires. Why do we live half-hearted, self-centered lives? If I'm going to be all in, then I must know what being in looks like. Otherwise, there's no way I can be all in. How many of us actually counted the cost before we got married? I mean, hopefully you met with someone and received some kind of counsel, whether it's your parents or a grandparent or a pastor or somebody who actually sat you down so that you, you know, got beyond the love part and actually count the cost of being married. But then once you're married, you actually have to live it out. As all of us who are married or have been married, we understand that. Like, we actually have to live that out moment by moment, day by day. If we don't, then it's not going to go well. Maybe that's why we're struggling. Maybe we forgot the cost. Or maybe we never fully committed to being all in when it comes to serving the Lord. So what can pastors and churches do? Again, Paul actually describes it for us in this same letter, the beginning of chapter 4, jumping backwards a couple of verses. Verse 1 says, "In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge." Paul, speaking to Timothy, he says, "Preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, are you in his presence? Are you pursuing his presence? Because we're not going to preach or teach or proclaim or correct or rebuke or encourage anybody unless we're in his presence. So we must center ourselves. We must continually worship in his presence, moment by moment, day by day, with a view of what is to come. Right, Paul is telling Timothy, in light of what is coming, in light of what is coming, preach the word. Be willing to correct, rebuke. We like to focus on that, but it's also to encourage. Be willing to walk with others. Be gentle and patient with them, giving them careful instruction. Paul tells Timothy, listen, I know that tough times are coming. I know that people will no longer want to listen to the truth. So how can we live this out as the church, as the body of Christ? And Paul concludes this thought, jumping back to verse 5 of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy. Paul says, "But you, Timothy, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." This is a model for us. Keep your head in all situations. Be awake. Be aware. But what I see more often than not in the church right now is a church that is losing its mind. Not a church that is keeping its mind. A church that is losing its mind. A church that is not aware of what's happening. A church that doesn't even see the way that they're living. So we must remember this morning who it is that we're fighting against. We're not fighting against those across the aisle in the sanctuary, and we're certainly not fighting against others in our community. Our our battle that we're involved in isn't in the heavenly realms. It's a spiritual battle. So Paul is trying to encourage Timothy. He's saying, you got to endure hardship because it will come. It's here. And I know none of us, like, we don't like hardship. But do you think maybe, just maybe, that God could help us today? That God could strengthen us in the midst of a struggle that we're facing, in the midst of this season that we find ourselves in, that God might actually be powerful enough to strengthen his church, to provide everything that we might need in this hour? Do the work of an evangelist. There, I got it. Tell others the truth of the good news. Tell them about Jesus Christ, his death, and his resurrection, and train others. Make disciples, for we are in the last days. Paul writing to Timothy a long time ago, so we know these words ring even truer today, the last days. And I know that I've been more focused on these scriptures than ever before, but I gotta say again, is this from the Lord? Because more than ever, I wanna commit to just preaching the word of the Lord this morning, right? So is this from the Lord? This is probably not the kind of message that I would want to preach, but God is breaking me open. He's pruning me. He's remaking me into his image. God is freeing me from me so that I can be more faithful to him. Anybody else this morning need to be freed from yourself so that you can serve the Lord, so that you can be used for his glory? God is the only one that can set you free. So here's what Paul just says about these last days. We have to look back a couple of chapters, so I want us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As Paul describes the last days, this isn't the only point that the last days are described. Jesus himself describes them in Matthew 24. We see in 1 Peter, we see in the book of Revelation, we see in the Old Testament. Listen, there are going to be these days that we know as the last days. And as Paul was writing to Timothy, he, I believe, had the understanding that they were in the last days. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, Paul says this. He says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone." Have you ever heard that before? "The Lord's servant must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will." Listen, when we come against those who disagree with us, I want you to know that they have been ensnared by the trap of the devil. This battle is not against flesh and blood. Chapter 3 says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. "Those who are all in will flee from evil. They will be done with living in their sin they will repent of their sin. They'll leave death behind, and instead they will pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, but not on their own. Did you catch that? This is not a journey we take on our own. We go together in community. It says, alongside those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those who are also hungry, seeking to be faithful and holy. These people, God's people, will be changed. They'll be made new. They'll leave behind arguments and fighting on Facebook. It says it in the Word. Instead, they'll be filled with kindness and gentleness. They'll be filled with gratitude towards God. Those who are free will seek to help others find freedom. They'll understand the very heart of God, that no one should perish. I believe those who are all in will live with urgency and expectancy. But mark this, Paul says to young Timothy, understand this. Things will become more difficult. I'm sorry if you've been deceived, but there will be terrible times in the last days. And we could debate right now whether or not, you know, where we're at in these, in the time, you know, is the Lord near? Yes, the Lord is near. The Lord has been near. He will return. That's all that you need to focus on. Jesus will return. But things could get worse. So understand this, Paul says to Timothy, people will be lovers of themselves. And we look at how we used to live and we look at the world and we're like, yep, check. People will be lovers of money. They'll be boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So what does Paul say? What is he telling us? He says, have nothing to do with such people. But in that same letter to Timothy, he would call Timothy to this task of being an evangelist. He would call Timothy to this point of understanding that, no, you actually have to bear with one another. You have to give careful instruction and be patient. But who is it that you are spending your life with? Who is it that's influencing you? Paul says, don't be around people like that. Don't let them steal the joy of the Lord. Instead, be prepared. Understand the times. Pursue holiness. But let's not forget something else about the last days. And you know, I encourage you to go home and scan through God's word and find everything that the Lord says through his messengers about the last days. But in the book of Acts, the second chapter, the word of the Lord comes to Peter as he stands and preaches after Pentecost. And he reminds us of something else about the last days. And it's the reality that God's spirit will be poured out on all his people. So to connect this to what Paul has just told Timothy, those who have a form of godliness but deny its power are those who are not filled with his spirit. They are outwardly religious. They're interested in the external things, the routine things, the rituals of religion, but they've got no relationship with the Lord. Listen, I don't want to be naive this morning. There might be some of us here or some of us watching online that find ourselves in that place. Like, we've been in the church for a long time, but if we're honest with ourselves, because that's our goal right now, to be more honest with the Lord and with one another, if we're honest with ourselves, we would say, I don't have the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. And in the last days, you're going to see an increase of this in the church. Those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. Those who don't have a real relationship with the Lord. So what about you this morning? Are you in or not? God is speaking this morning. And I don't know about you, but I want to listen to him. I want to follow him. I want to be faithful to preach and teach his word. But that might mean we have to change some things around. That might mean that God might actually want to remove some things from our lives. He may actually want to prune us so that we may bear more fruit. So are you willing to surrender your way? Are you willing to let the Lord reveal those areas that need to go? Are you willing to serve the Lord in your marriage, at your job, and in your home? Are you willing to be all in, even when it looks like the world is all wrong? Then let's go all in together, pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace, calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. But let's not forget that all means all. Late last night, as I was just kind of reviewing my notes, the Lord reminded me of this. Let's not forget that all means all. And the Lord actually reminded me of a parable that Jesus shares. It's found in Luke chapter 15, if you want to go and read it. But Jesus is in this position, and he's questioned by the religious ones. He's questioned because he's actually sitting with and eating with sinners. And the Pharisees begin to question, like, what are you doing, Jesus? And in Luke 15, Jesus tells this parable, and he says, suppose you had 100 sheep. This is my paraphrase. Suppose you had 100 sheep, and you went to your pen and you counted, and you noticed that there's only 99 sheep. If you're the shepherd, would you say they're all in? No. The good shepherd will go, leaving behind the 99. The good shepherd will go and seek out that lost one. And when the good shepherd finds that lost one, he will gently pick up that lost sheep and place it on his shoulders and bring it back. Bring it back home. So friends, we got to be careful with a message like this, that we don't become self-absorbed, and we don't become self-centered, because God wants us to be all in. He wants us to pursue holiness, to be pure and holy, but he wants us to be a part of the body of Christ. And his heart is that everyone would come to know him. So he is looking for those who will work together with a pure heart, that will be faithful to preach the word. They'll be faithful to be an evangelist, to share the good news, but also faithful to go after the lost one. And as you hear that story, some of you are like, that was me. Well, that is me. I'm the lost one. I'm not all in, Lord. I want us to know this morning that we can be all in. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God this morning. But you have to make the move. You have to be like this person, this crazy person, jumping off the cliff, abandoning themselves and jumping in. You have to say, I'm all in, Lord. I repent of my sin. Fill me with your spirit once again. So are you all in this morning? Are you burning for him? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit and fire? Because God wants to move in this hour. God wants to change and transform you and your family and your home and your neighborhood and the communities that we live in, all of creation. But it starts with us surrendering ourselves to the Lord. So I want to invite the worship team to come and join me. And as they come, we're going to pause for this moment of prayer. And I don't even have to guess. I just am at this place where I'm just trusting the Lord these days that He actually knows what is best for us. I know it may seem foreign, but God actually knows what's best for us, and He actually wants us to be free today. True. And so we're not going to make this complex or anything. We're just going to pray this simple prayer in faith. So if you join me, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would help us this morning. Father, we want to declare that we are all in. Father, as the body of Christ, as a local church family, Father, we want to join together and we want to say we're all in, Lord. But to be all in, Father, we need to repent of any sin in our lives. We need to be willing to allow You to prune us, to discipline us, to shape and remake us into Your image. So have Your way this morning, Lord. Purify us. The blood of Jesus was shed so that we could be free. So, Father, purify us from all unrighteousness. Set us free from sin. Set us free from ourselves so that we can be used for You, Your glory, Your kingdom. And fill us with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, as You send us out to do the work that You've called us to. Father, break off any shame this morning, Lord. This is no longer the time to be ashamed. To be ashamed of You, Lord. I think some of us would confess and say that we've been ashamed of You. Break that off, Lord, this morning. May we walk out of this place in freedom because of Your Son, Jesus. So bless us and encourage us this morning. We ask and we pray together in Jesus' name. In His name we pray. Amen.